Blog Talk Radio.
From the traitorous state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Henners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through conservativenationmedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Well, thank you, Kathy. She's going to be here, I hope, in the second hour. Yesterday was a good day for this country. We no longer have to listen to Jay Carney lying for Obama. He quit. And he quit saying that he never did anything wrong. He just left out the fact that almost everything he did was a lie to cover up for Obama. Well... But I have my own opinions on this whole thing. He should have been fired. That is neither here nor there. It doesn't seem to matter to this administration what they are there, that they are there to lead and do the people's will. No, no. They are there to rule over us in every way possible. Well, a few of the possibilities became impossible this week. Both of these happened yesterday, first after more than 3 years of jousting with the White House press corps, or corpse, as Obama says. With the White House press corps, President Barack Obama's chief spokesman, Jay Carney, will step down next month to pursue yet-to-be-named opportunity that I guess supposedly is coming his way. It's probably something that Obama is going to make up for him so that he'll be able to keep his job with the government and money for doing nothing but lie to the people. Obama announced this on Friday, which was yesterday. Carney's deputy, Josh Earnest, will take his place, the president said. And every time I hear that name, Earnest, I keep thinking of the Earnest shows, you know, Earnest goes stupid and Earnest does this. But Obama interrupted Carney on the podium where he was answering questions during the White House daily news briefing, catching reporters by surprise. And I don't think there was any surprise there. It's just the way that everything was said, but that wasn't all. Obama said one of Jay's favorite lines is, "I have no personal announcements at this time," continued and said, "but I do, and it's bittersweet." It was Obama's second turn on the podium on Friday. Earlier, he spoke in the same spot to say his Veteran Affairs Secretary, Eric Shinetsky, had resigned. So we lost two this weekend, which is really cool. Couldn't have happened to a better bunch of people. Obama called Carney one of his closest friends and advisors, and said he was not thrilled when Carney first told him in April he wanted to leave. Carney, 49, has been press secretary for longer than usual for such a high-pressure job. Many occupants stay for only a couple of years before leaving. Carney replaced Robert Gibbs in January of 2011 and stayed on through Obama's 2012 re-election, which was unfortunate, but that wasn't all. Also, I found out yesterday that Eric Shinseki, the Veteran Affairs Secretary, stepped down too. And from Newsmax, it had this to say: President Barack Obama needed Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki. I keep wanting to say it the other way, Shinseki, to resign because he needs to change the narrative after the administration had a terrible week, says former Michigan Congressman and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Peter Hoekstra. Last week, he started with White House leaking out information, compromising the chief station chief, the CIA chief in Afghanistan, a huge blunder by the White House, Hoekstra told J.D. Hayworth and John Bachman on America's Forum on the Newsmax TV on Friday. Wednesday night, you had Eric Snowden doing an hour-long interview, which reminds the American people not only of the things that were going on at NSA that they didn't like, but that under this president, we had the most massive breach of intelligence information in the history of the world, Hoekstra added. You are listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, me, Robert Garding. We are glad that you are here on this, the last day of May. We are glad that you are here today and know that you will be hearing some good stuff to help save America. Welcome to the show on this wonderful day. Representative Jack Kingston, Republican of Georgia, says he has a time-tested conservative record on which people can count if he's elected to the U.S. Senate, and he warns voters of buyer's remorse if they elect either of the contenders in the race. GOP Senate primary is one of the most competitive in the nation, too. But that's neither here nor there right now. The GOP Senate primary is one of the most competitive in the nation. Fox News anchor, host Sean Hannity has endorsed Kingston, saying, quote, I have known Jack Kingston for 20 years. He's a solid Ronald Reagan Republican and my choice in the Georgia Senate race. Jack will join the conservative coalition in the U.S. Senate. Seven candidates are jockeying to replace retiring Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss. Latest surveys show businessman David Perdue in front with Kingston in second and former Georgia Secretary of State Karen Handel closely behind in third. Representatives John Brown and Phil Gingrey are 2 points back of Handel. With no one in position to win a majority of the vote, the top two finishers head to a July 22nd runoff. The Georgia primary is on Tuesday, which is just a few days away. Kingston has been targeted by his fellow members of Congress, as well as Perdue and Handel, for being a partner in the growth of government during his 22 years in Washington. Kingston said he has had more than two decades of conservative leadership that voters can count on if he's elected to the Senate. A congressman said his 96% lifetime rating from the American Conservative Union and A-plus from the National Rifle Association prove his commitment to conservative principles, in addition to endorsements from Hannity, flat tax author Steve Forbes, and fair tax architect John Linder. And Kingston says here, we want to make sure people know I have honest-to-goodness conservative credentials and have been tested and tried. On the other hand, David Perdue yesterday came out for a tax increase. That's not a conservative position. He's pretty weak on the Second Amendment. That's well known. He's flip-flopped on the Common Core. And these are things people care about in Georgia, and we want to make sure people know the difference between my voting record and his rhetoric, unquote. In an interview with the editorial board of the Macon Telegraph, Perdue discussed the need to grow revenue in a way that led Kingston and others to accuse Perdue of being open to a tax hike. Quote, well, here's the reality. If you go back into a business, and I keep coming back to my background, it's how I know how to relate is to refer back to it. I was never able to turn around a company just by cutting spending, Perdue said. You had to figure out a way to get revenue growing. Thursday on Herman Cain's radio show, Perdue tried to clarify what he meant. He said, I've been preaching for over a year now that to solve the debt crisis, we have to cut federal spending and we have to grow the economy, Perdue told King. The other day, the editorial board review I said we need to cut taxes so we can grow revenue without tax increases, I might add, unquote. Kingston isn't buying it. Let me tell you all what happened, Kingston said. He got out of that room and he got clobbered. He was being an insider, which he is. This is a guy who took stimulus money, sat on the board of a company that took $3 million in stimulus funds. Now he's going down and telling people that stimulus bill was a bad bill. He absolutely said he supported revenue increase. He didn't mention growth. He's coming back to that position, I understand, why he's doing that, because he walked out there and his handler said, you got way in front on this thing. You shouldn't have been talking like that. He's already come out for one tax increase on Internet sales, so it's not that big of a change. This guy who likes big government from stimulus programs to a bailout, which he did, and that was what Kingston said. That was quoted. And we are just having all kinds of fun here today so far. Nothing else happening right at the moment, so I will go to the first break. We've been telling you that conservativenationmedia.com is making some changes, and they started on May 6th. That's when Inside Tennessee with Dave Brands came to Tuesday. Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America, and Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Sometimes we get good news that warms the heart, and I think this is just one of those stories. From Girls Gotta Have Guns comes this one about a 105-year-old man finally being honored. The story of Sir Nicholas Winton is one of the most profound tales of humanitarianism that you've probably never heard. After saving 669 children, most of them Jewish, from likely death at Nazi concentration camps at the onset of World War II, it was announced Monday the heroic Englishman will be awarded the Order of the Lion, White Lion, the highest order in the Czech Republic, and the Associated Press reported. In the official announcement, Czech President Miloš Zeman noted Winton's example of humanity, selflessness, personal bravery, and modesty as reasons for the prestigious honor. The award will be given to Winton this October. In December 1938, Winton gave up a vacation as a London-based stockbroker to travel to politically turbulent Prague, according to The Guardian. He was curious to see firsthand what was happening to refugees in what was then Czechoslovakia. Nazis had recently invaded the country, and Winton sensed the great danger refugees were facing. He wasn't an elected official, a high-ranking member of the British military, or even someone with a significant background in charitable work. But starting during his first 3 weeks in Prague, Winton made one of the most impactful single-handed efforts to save children from mass genocide. He created advertisements for foster homes. He manipulated paperwork to sidestep government red tape that would have gotten in his way, CBS News reported. He even persuaded German to go along with his plan, continuing his efforts from his home in London for the next 9 months. Winton coordinated 8 train evacuations of 669 children from the Czechoslovakia to Britain, saving them from almost certain death. For decades, Winton's heroic efforts largely went unnoticed until 1988, when a BBC program surprised him by planning an emotional reunion with several of the survivors he saved, and something the Telegraph reported. So with all things considered, turning 105 years old on May 19th, which is my brother's birthday, might have been the least of Winton's achievements. The hero celebrated his landmark birthday with about 100 guests in attendance, many of whom are offspring of the children whom he rescued in 1939. According to The Guardian, there are roughly 6,000 people around the world today that owe Winton their lives. If you ask him, though, the formula to do good is a pretty simple one. He says, I work on the motto that if something's not impossible, there must be a way to of doing it, told CBS News last month. Now, doesn't that just warm the cockles of your pea-picking little heart? We will be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com. And the new Wise Conservatism radio show. And I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. From Washington, D.C., President Barack Obama shocked the country yesterday morning with news that he is running for, or the other morning, that he is going to be running for a third term. His quote says, I can't abandon the American people now that they need me more than ever. Boy, he's full of himself, isn't he? Obama told reporters at a press conference on that morning, he says, quote, we've come this far as a nation. Now is not the time to do something different. This is the change you wanted, and this is the change you're getting, unquote. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky told CNN that he does not agree with Obama and his announcement. This defies everything the Constitution stands for, Paul said. We cannot let this man have a third term. In the history of this country, only two presidents have served more than two terms, Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin D. Roosevelt. The major problem for Obama when he runs in 2016 is the 22nd Amendment. In short, the 22nd Amendment states no person shall be elected to office of president more than twice. In the Constitution, the Constitution does make an exception in the 22nd Amendment, though. It says this article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by legislatures of three-fourths of the several states within 7 years from the date of its submission to the states by Congress. This means Obama's third-term presidential run is only valid if he receives 75% approval from the Congress. The bill to abolish the 22nd Amendment was recently introduced into Congress, of course, by New York Democrat Representative Jose Serrano, and is gaining popularity. This is exactly the kind of news that makes an Obama 2016 presidential run possible. Paul Horner, who is a spokesman for the Obama administration, told reporters how amazing this news is for the country. Obama is guaranteed to win in 2016, and then we'll be able to enjoy this great man for another 4 years. Things could not get any better for the American people. I'm so stoked. I don't know about you folks, but I think they are so totally out of step with everything that is going on in this nation. They don't even know what is happening. They wouldn't know if it came up and popped them in the face. But he goes on saying, now I really have to, you know, and I really have to have finally seen this in print. And I can't help but think that I've known that Obama wants this from several years ago. He was saying this, you know, I mentioned this on my blog about 3 years ago. Now it is finally coming out in print, and I predicted this would be happening. And no one listened, no one. Maybe some of you will believe me now. And if you think that is going, that doing the things he is doing will get him that set 75% approval rating, think of this one. Obama wants to remove the "In God We Trust" on all our currency beginning on July 1st. If he succeeds in this one, folks, we might as well kiss this country goodbye. God is part of what helped this country be as great as she has been. We turn away like that, and we can expect no more help from the Almighty in heaven, mark my words. And mankind isn't great enough to be able to do well without his help. I will talk more on this in a few moments after these messages. Hello, Kathy. Good to see you there. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let this happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. And then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every 5, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, We're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I don't know what I was thinking. I played that one again, and I shouldn't have, but that's okay. I've been making a lot of mistakes lately. It's one of those things. I guess I'm showing my humanness lately. That article that I just talked about Obama wanting to run for a third term, in order for him to be able to do this, he'd have to get 75% approval rating. Well, with his approval rating sitting right around in the low 40s, high compared to what it should be, that's nowhere near 40%, and I'm not sure what he's going to do to be able to get it back up, get it up to 75%. I don't really think that he was ever at 75%, even in his most popular times, and he definitely is not running a popular presidency right at the moment. Even the people that I have talked to that voted for him twice are not enamored with him anymore. They don't care about what he's doing to this nation and his ideals of what he's doing and who he's chumming up with and who he's pushing away tells volumes, just speaks volumes about what that man is about. And that man is not about things that are good for this nation. And he never has been. I told you that from the very beginning when he was running for president for the first time and he first came out to announce that he was going to be running. My first comment on that was he was nothing more than a community organizer who had never really held a job in his life. He was a senator at the time, had never really done any of his senatorial duties, had not really voted on anything, and yet he thought he was ready for the presidency. Apparently a lot of people did too, even though he proceeded to tell us all that due to his cap and tax programs that energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. Now we have a new ad that's hitting the radio airwaves here in Indianapolis, at least, that says because of things that he is doing, energy prices to heat your homes is going to go up 75% in the next year. I don't know about you, but I can't afford that. And I will never be able to afford that because I'm not making that kind of money. I know he is. I mean, he's going to be making that kind of money for the rest of his frickin' life on our dime, no less. And that, I don't know, that kind of pisses me off. I don't like the idea of making him able to live the life of leisure that he's going to be able to live and know that I'm one of the people who's going to be paying for this. Because government money is non-existent if it wasn't for the people. And I'm glad to see that Kathy is there. I need to take my break now, which I shouldn't have done a few minutes. I'm going to go into my 4:30 break. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. And I know I read this, but I'm not really, this should have been read now. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year, unless it's leap year, of course. and then you get 366 days. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad that you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service. This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Okay, that was all kinds of fun. Now, I told you that I would be back shortly with a story on how Obama wants to remove ungodly trust from all of our money. And I got this one from the nationalreport.com, America's number one independent news team, Washington, D.C. Beginning July 1st, the Federal Reserve, along with the United States Department of Treasury, will begin printing all currency, which includes all notes and coins, without the words, "In God We Trust." This modification comes under strict orders from President Barack Obama and his administration. Obama held a press conference yesterday morning to explain the impending change and to answer questions. He says, now this is amazing, we've got to listen to this kind of thing. He says, quote, "As our country grows and changes, so must our money. There is too many individuals living in this great nation of ours that do not worship the same God as most of us. In fact, some folks don't believe in a God at all. This currency adjustment is truly a change we can believe in. America is a God-fearing," and that was an unquote. And Michael Anthony Claypool, a journalist with Al Jazeera, said, "America is a God-fearing Christian nation. It is now and always has been," unquote. He went on to say, "Obama is the Antichrist, and this is just more proof to support that claim." Mohammed El-Sayed, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party, told CNN that He is pleased with Obama and his actions. He said, quote, I spoke with President Obama by telephone yesterday before his announcement and personally thanked him for what he is doing, not just for the Muslim community, but for all non-Christians living in this direction. As I explained it to him, praise Allah. And that was the ending of what El-Sayed said, which kind of pissed me off. I don't like this idea. And here we have a president who is supposed to be doing the things the country wants and the country needs, and he's doing all this stuff to change the country into a third world Allah-worshipping country, which is not what America was formed as. It isn't what we should be. And it just pisses me off. Political activist 35-year-old Paul Horner told reporters, the fight to remove the iconic words from the American currency is far from over. He said, I have started a petition at whitehouse.gov to protect these words from being destroyed by our president, Horner said. He goes on to say, I encourage all God-fearing Christians to sign it. These kinds of changes must be stopped before Obama does even more damage. This is a stepping stone in the wrong direction and will only lead to much worse things. We have already lost Christmas in this country in a lot of places because things are not allowed that have anything to do with Christmas. Soon, we will lose our churches and Bibles too. Horner continued, it is a slippery slope, my friends. This administration must be stopped at all costs. Unquote. Since 1956, In God We Trust has been the national motto of the United States and is inscribed on the front of all our coins and the back of all current paper currency. The Federal Reserve has set up a 24-hour hotline to answer any questions individuals may have about the upcoming currency changes at 785-273-0325. That's 785-273-0325. Obama says that we must change our money, but the only change he is mandating is taking In God We Trust off of it. Well, I don't know about you folks, but we need all the help we can get. And the best help we could get for this country is from God. And we keep distancing ourselves from him, and we can count our country off his help list, period. Without that, America will continue on down that spiral in the toilet. And that, you know, this is something that just really got to me. I listen to Kathy Hinders a lot about what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing to this nation, and all of that's bad, but when you add everything that is going on because our president is allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to essentially just move into this country and start doing things that they're not really supposed to be doing, and then taking In God We Trust off of our money through a mandate that he decides on his own that he's going to do, this just goes many steps too far in the wrong direction, and I don't like it. It just leaves me absolutely speechless at times, some of the things this man is doing. And there's no uproar. There's no, from the media, there's nothing is being said about any of this. In order to find articles like what I just read you, you have to look, and you can't look in the New York Times. It ain't going to be there. You can't look in the regular mainstream media. It isn't going to be there. You have to find the alternative news sources like the conservative blogs and Breitbart and the Blaze Network and Rush Limbaugh. You have to find these things. They're not something that's going to jump right out at you in the media because it is not going to be there. So we're going to have all this bad stuff happening to us, and we're all going to sit there and say, wow, I didn't know this was going on. What the heck is going on? Why weren't we informed? Well, sadly, you were but not in the way that most people are looking for it, because it's not going to be there. The mainstream media has already shown us that they have no love for this country at all. The only love they have for it, along with President Barack Obama, is the fact that it allows them to be rich or do what they want to do whenever they want to do. Other than that, this nation needs to be taken down, according to them. And that just, I don't know. It's one of the reasons why I do this show. I really wish that I could get myself a handle on some of the audiences that, say, maybe Rush Limbaugh or other shows get. I don't get that much. It really bugs me because I have a lot to say that it's sad because we live in the greatest country that this world has ever seen or will ever see. Because once America is gone, it's just like Ronald Reagan said, once America is gone, there will be no other to follow it. And the people's apathy on this and what is going on in this country is only going to be helping the downfall of this country. And I thank God for people like Kathy Hinders, who does daily roll call. I thank God for people like Dukes, who does Radio Free America, and Dave Vance, and everybody else, you know, Michael on Sunday with Along with Bing, doing their two shows. This is something that is needed. And then I also listen to constitutional shows by a good friend of mine out in California. His name is Doug, and I'm sure that you guys have heard me talk about him at times. But this country needs to be saved, and people aren't standing up to do this yet. It needs to be done. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, who I was just talking about a couple seconds ago, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, and American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Sergeant Andrew Tamuriski, the U.S. Marine who has been stuck in a Mexican prison for 2 months, told his real story to Greta Van Susteren in an exclusive interview this last Thursday, despite allegations that his former attorney advised him to mislead Mexican authorities. Tamuriski maintains he accidentally crossed the San Diego border into Mexico in his truck. Sergeant Andrew Tamuriski, the U.S. Marine who has been stuck in a Mexican prison for 2 months, told his real story to Greta Van Susteren, like I said. And he has been stuck in prison for a little while now. Now, I do have to say that under Bush or Reagan, he would not have stayed in that prison for anywhere near that time, because if he had, the media would be screaming bloody murder over it. But over this one, there is just one thing we seem to hear from our government, and that is those crickets chirping. Why is that? Why is it that we have such a foreseeable discrepancy between what media will want to report under, say, Bush, but the same things go totally unreported under Obama? It is like that all the time, folks. You can't say it's not. A Republican should know better. A Democrat is only doing what he needed to save this America, and we all know that is a bunch of bull. We can't help but wonder or at least I can't help but wonder, why the Democrats get away with this so much and the Republicans always get blamed for what it amazes me.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay, you are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com and the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. It seems Team Obama is investigating itself again. Now, how many people have ever heard of somebody investigating themselves to get what's going on? You don't hear it very often because it doesn't happen. I don't care how much they investigate themselves, they're never going to come up with the answers that will tell us what's going on. They're going to make something up as they go along. But in response to White House investigating outing of CIA station chief, and you need to hold on to your seats, folks, this is insanity at its best, while the Obama administration is investigating itself again. I can hardly wait to learn the outcome from this hard-hitting piece of detective work, doubtless to be released sometime after the 2016 election, or more likely uncovered by a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. Maybe we'll get documents like the ones National Review just obtained from the Interior Department pursuant to a FOIA request for correspondence related to the outrageous closure of national parks during the shutdown theater. Most transparent administration in history responded with emails that had been redacted into solid black boxes. Remember those? And I'm not exaggerating. Literally every word of the emails had been redacted. It's "Dear so-and-so," followed by what looks like a monolith from 2001 turned on its side, followed by "Sincerely," and a signature. As if the administration's scheme to punish Americans for daring fund Obamacare was some sort of national security secret, this is almost as exciting as that time Attorney General Eric Holder investigated Attorney General Eric Holder over Operation Fast and Furious. It'll be as much of a nail-biter as VA Secretary Eric Shinseki investigation of VA Secretary Eric Shinseki. This Afghanistan CIA thing is a huge deal. A bona fide compromise of national security by the inept teenagers who run the Obama White House. So I'm sure the investigations will cause heads to roll across Washington, just like when the IRS investigated the IRS for abusing IRS power to persecute Obama's political enemies. Can you imagine? You do something totally wrong and against the law, and when law enforcement comes in, you tell them that they have nothing to fear. You're going to conduct a thorough and complete investigation into the reasons you did what you did, and then I will come and report my findings to you. I wouldn't get away with it. Neither you nor I would get away with that because it is pure stupidity. But guess what? Our dear president and his cronies, his administration, is doing just that. They're going to investigate themselves, and then it will be all right, won't it? Well, none of that matters now, does it? It seems the Obama regime is coming apart at the seams. Jay Carney was allowed to resign instead of being fired like he should have been. And on the same vein, Shinseki was also allowed to quit. And it happened fairly fast, fairly quickly, one right on top of the other. And Obama didn't fire them as he should have, but he was saddened by having to accept their retirement. Oh, brother, it shows just how much Obama cares nothing for the good of this nation. He really is such an idiot. Yes, I said this. And this is one of those things that just, I sit back and I try to imagine how sane, thinking, civilized people in the greatest country in the world could ever fall for the crud that they are falling for, and allowing people who do not care for anything but their own agenda and their own for their lives on somebody else's dime. It amazes me that we're allowing these people to do this. It amazes me that we're electing them. Whatever happened to an American public that would actually look into what a person stood for? If there was a story that came out about somebody, didn't sound good. I remember a time when the American people would actually sit back and look into what was going on and why it happened. Which, that's been a long time ago, hasn't it? I mean, Ted Kennedy got away with murder and he stayed in the Senate for the rest of his life. But I guess that's neither here nor there. Isn't it, folks? This nation needs to stand up, vote the right people into office, and get these idiots out that are destroying this country. I mean, we do want it around for our children, don't we? Children in this house right now, one is 16 in a couple of months. Well, actually, I think she just turned 16. Jeez. My, how time flies. And I got another one that's getting ready to turn 13. It will not be long before they're out on their own. And I fear for them because they are going to be going into the real world. And the things that are happening today are going to make it so much tougher on them than it ever was for me. And believe me, it's been tough at times. But they're going to be able to say, hey, Dad, don't know nothing, because it's going to be worse for them. And that scares me. It scares me that I am going to send my girls out into a world where they may be under the new Islamic laws that say that men can rape women and it doesn't matter, because the government has given the Iranian men permission to do so. look at what Obama's trying to get over here. We see this kind of thing coming. We have to look at what's going on, or we are going to be forcing our children to be living in a world that none of us are going to like. I guarantee you that. This is not scaremongering. This is not trying to make people think that I'm trying to say something that can be avoided and isn't going to be. All of this can be avoided. All we have to do is look into the people who are running. If they say they're conservative, look into it. Find out if they are. And if they are, vote them into office. Get the liberals out. Vote out the Harry Reids and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Barack Hussein Obamas and the Joe Bidens. Vote out the John Kerry's and all the other ones who will not follow the rules of this Constitution because they want to do things their way. Well, that's not what they're in our government for. They're not there to do things their way. They are there to do things the way that the Constitution means them to do it. They need to be following the laws of this nation, not making them up as they go. And that's exactly what our so-called president now is doing. If he's got a law that he doesn't like, he just makes up a new one. He's got his pen, he's got his phone. He doesn't have to go through Congress, and so far he's gotten away with it. We need to stop that, and we need to stop it fast before this nation is destroyed, and we're coming so close to that. It's been one of the things that's been going on is that we have always been told that once the amount of people on welfare hits 50%, this nation is pretty much gone. Well, guess what, folks? We're about at 48% now. Look rosy, does it? But I guess there's not much we can do about it unless we start voting the right way. And that's something we need to start doing. We need to start voting the right way and start thinking of the children. There is a war on children going on. There is a war on women going on. But it's not from the conservative right. It originated in the liberal left of our government days, although they blame all of us for it. One of these days, hopefully, we'll find out that the conservatives have been trying to save this nation while the Democrats have been doing everything they can to tear it down. We will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show here on Conservative Nation Media, and also Kathy Hinners, who is going to join me for the second hour, which is really cool because that woman has a lot to say about almost everything, especially the Muslim Brotherhood and things that are going wrong in this nation. We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs a budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Hi, I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors in the Obama nation, and we're proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we're being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, your host, Robert Garding.
Okay, we are back for the second hour of the show, and as soon as Kathy called in, we can start on Monday, as Alan West returned from Detroit. He had the moment that he truly felt was God sent, as he doesn't believe in consequences. It happened on one of his flights, and it was 2 hours. He said he will never forget. And here's what Mr. West said, and it looks like she just called in. I'll get back with that because this is more important. Hello, Kathy, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great so far. I made a couple of good boo-boos in the first hour, but that's becoming common sense, I think.
who doesn't? That's fine.
I was looking at the time thinking, wow, I missed my 15-minute break and didn't remember doing it. And then when it started playing, I thought, well, I've done this already.
Well, I couldn't remember if you were Central Time or Eastern Time. So I've been trying to figure that out, but I finally did. So,
yeah, I'm Eastern. I wish I was West Coast Time, but that's okay.
Yeah, really.
I actually like it there, even with all the liberals that are there.
Yeah, if you could get rid of them out there, it would be nice.
Well, you know, living in this state, I kind of don't have that much to do because I'm surrounded by conservatives all over the place. Over there, I'd be surrounded by liberals, and it would be just a, I couldn't say a walk in the park. Give me purpose.
Yeah, well,
think.
You've got purpose, I'm sure. So you've got a lot going on, and I've been spreading the word about the show on Twitter and everything. So hopefully we'll get some callers. If not, maybe some listeners that'll learn something today.
Yeah, that would be really neat. What do you think about this thing about the Obama administration mandating that all money printed after July 1st is not going to have "In God We Trust" on it?
It's just another attack on Christianity. I mean, it's just truly more and more of the true colors of this administration coming out. I think it's very destructive. I think it's very divisive, but it's very dangerous as well. And I think that as a whole, Christians in this country are talking about the Christian persecution, but that's all they're doing. They're just talking about it. And, you know, this isn't meant to offend anybody, but you know what? If you are a Christian and you understand the persecution of Christians throughout the entire world and is now really prevalent in this country, it's kind of time to act. And you know what? Speak to your pastor, the leader of your church, whatever kind of church you go to, and tell them, you know, that we need to start talking about the Christians that are being murdered. We haven't seen that obviously yet in this country, but does that make it any different? I mean, Christians are Christians worldwide. And for them to be being murdered and slaughtered and mutilated in other countries is not acceptable. And so it's only a matter of time here that this does start happening. You know, people say, oh, here we go again, you know, this whole thing about the Muslims are coming. Well, the Muslims are here. The radical Islamists is what I call them. But it's only a matter of time. We have had beheadings. There was one in New Jersey that nobody really talked about, that two Muslim men beheaded and then cut the hands off of a Coptic Christian last year. So
yeah, I heard about
these
that
things
one.
Are just being, yeah, they're just being swept under the rug. No one's talking about it. But I think the first step is, and if your pastor is uncomfortable talking about this, then there's a problem. Because, you know, they're supposed to be the leaders of the Christian community, and if they don't wish to talk about the bad things that are happening, maybe it's time to start pulling funding from them. I think people need to know Islam is not a religion, and that's where people get all kind of weird and say, oh, my God, she's talking bad about a religion. The problem is that it isn't. It's a political way of life, and what's kind of interesting is we've been doing a thing here on some of the textbooks from the Islamic academies, and in every textbook, they are indicating that Islam is not a religion. So I think that needs to start being, you know, talked about a little bit more. You know, they're using everything as it's a religion. You know, certainly they get a benefit of the First Amendment as a religion, but we're working on starting to expose some of these things here. So lot going on. You got a lot going on in Indiana, actually, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, we've got the world's largest Muslim headquarters, I think, down here in Plainfield, which kind of bugs me because I work in Plainfield. So,
well, you know what? I'm going to say to you, stop by there and get me some pictures. You need a road trip to the ISNA. It's the Islamic Center of North America, for those that don't know. But, yeah, you do have some issues there. You've got two of the larger Muslim Brotherhood entities in Indiana, and ISNA is one of them in Plainfield, as you said, and then the other one is the Muslim Alliance of Indiana, which is in Indianapolis. So ISNA,
yeah, and they're both within driving distance of me, within probably about 30 miles. So I could probably.
Yeah, so when they take over, you're going to be, you know, you're right there, but ISNA is, they claim it to be one of the largest Islamic organizations, you know, in the country, but they are a very radical group. But the difference is, what's interesting is, you know, when Christians or just us Islamophobes or whatever have conferences, we get like a couple hundred people. When ISNA holds its conference, which is coming up next month, I think, they have thousands attending this conference. They raise millions of dollars. So to those people that don't get this, Robert, and who refuse to get it, you know, this is why we're losing, and we are losing, because they're able to get the money and the people and the motivation behind what they need to do, and we sit back and say, well, no, we have a constitution. This can't happen. Well, if you haven't noticed, and you talk about this a lot, this president is ripping up the Constitution paragraph by paragraph. So it is going to happen, and it is happening, unfortunately. So I hope, you know, your message gets out on a weekly basis as well. So we're in trouble. We're
you know,
in a lot of trouble.
I keep talking about that, you know, saying how much trouble we're in, and I keep getting people come up and, because I'll say this on my blog, and they'll, you know, have people who will read it, and they'll say, all you're doing is scaremongering. And I said, no, I'm not. All you have to do is just look and research a little bit, figure out just what the heck is going on. Why are Christians being persecuted in this country? Why is our president telling us we can't do things that Christians normally do, but we can hail all these Muslims who are trying to take over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for those that, you know, are saying that it's, you know, scaring people and doing all these crazy things, they need to understand that if, you know, they think they should be scared now. I would have to say in another year, they will be beyond being scared, because it's just, it's something that's very frightening to me. And, you know, I will say that I'm not a politician. I have no aspirations to be a politician. And I will tell you that I was just simply a police officer. And so, you know, there's nothing there for me to be talking about this, to putting myself out there, putting my name, my real name out there, exposing myself to give people this information. So there is something to it. I feel very strongly about it. I was able to get into that community while I was still in the police department and basically learn a lot about the community. And, you know, they have one mission here. And I know that people can't fathom that. I understand it. It's the United States of America. But we have a group of people that are looking to take over to create the perfect Islamic world. And I don't know, Robert, if people aren't paying attention now, it's really kind of too late. You know, I think the next step is, and I hate to say this, but I think the next step will be some sort of holy war on our own ground, because the Muslims are very active, and I shouldn't say Muslims, I should say Islamists. Number one, they hate that word, but they're trying to ban that word, but that's truly more what they are. But yeah. You know, they're doing a really good job. They're doing a very good job of what they said they were going to do several years ago in a document. So, unfortunately, you know, we need more people to start listening to you and to start doing their own research. You know, ISNA is a prime example. You know, look up what ISNA is. And on the face of it, they do all the right things. They have interfaith forums. They help the community. They help the poor. They do all the proper things on the face of it. But you need to look at who these people are and what their agenda is, and then maybe you'll understand. They'll understand.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's where the big fight in this whole thing comes up, is to get people to try and research, because people just don't want to do that. They're I hate to use
lazy?
The word, but they're lazy.
Yeah.
they don't want to put out the work. And I had never really done that myself. You know, I just kind of went along with the status quo. And then in 2007, I started thinking about, you know, what had happened in 2001. And I had been thinking for several years that I needed to get my words out, and I couldn't figure out how. Well, then I found Blog Talk Radio, and in 2007, in August, that's when I started this show. And it's kind of grown a little bit since then, but it's my way of getting the word out. And I do a lot of research during the week, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you here, because I know you do too. You've got a lot going on down in Tennessee, and you know, the same areas that you're in. And I read your blog, and I've actually not really reblogged what you write, but I will copy a lot of it and put it into a post and try and get it out on a different area, because I know that your blog has its readers, mine's got readers, and they're probably different.
So, yeah, you know, and that's a big, huge help. You know, I think that's kind of just a way for us both to get things out there. You know, the crossing of your blog and my blog and others that speak out at this point. You know, I don't care, you know, who puts stuff out anymore. It's just a matter that it's getting out. So, actually, though, while you're saying that, you know, a lot of people take those articles as their own. I just had that problem with somebody from this website. But, you know, it's just basically getting the word out. So any way we have to do it, you know, is fine by me. But unfortunately, people look at you and they look at me and they say, oh, bigots or haters. And, you know, there's nothing hateful about myself. I don't hate anybody. But I think that the difference is they don't want the truth to be out, and they're silencing or trying to silence those people that are talking the truth. And I don't know. It's, you know, more and more they're trying to prevent things from going out there, and I think that's kind of scary, too. You know, there's so much for First Amendment.
But, you know, What we've got, one of the guys in the chat room was saying that there are so many dangers that people refuse to acknowledge. He says, mm-hmm. ignore the problems and they will go away, and that's the mentality of most of these people. Americans only learn from catastrophe, and I fear we must lose a million souls before we before it'll get their attention. Well, you know, the whole thing with 9/11, how many years did it take we started getting politicians saying that, oh, we're just, you know, it really wasn't the Muslims who did that. It really wasn't a Muslim who was flying that. It didn't take many years.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with
and
you.
During this whole time, Ahmadinejad's over there saying that the Holocaust never happened. Well, you know, we've got photographs and documentation of all of this. If anything, the Germans were great on documentation. They documented everything. So how can you refuse something that has been documented so well? Well, he got away with
kidding.
It. You know,
Yep.
And,
it's sad. It's really sad.
And I remember after 9/11 how suddenly the news media took all of the pictures off the air because they said that it was too hurtful for Americans to see that happening.
Yeah, well, it's getting worse. So, you know, the 9/11 Museum in New York City right now is under fire because in its video, there's a video about the tragedy, and it talks about jihad, and it says the word terrorism and al-Qaeda. And the Islamists, such as CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and a few others, are boycotting it because they say that, that for people that don't know about Islam, that gives it a negative image. And so, you know, the fact that they're trying to change history is kind of interesting as well. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to change history because they don't like what history says about, you know, the past 1,400 years with their prophet Muhammad. So they figure if they can get people to be silenced about that, then only the good will be able to surface about Islam, which I have yet to find any good about Islam.
They also figure if they can block history, then they can also block the fact that Islam was not started in the way that they're trying to make it seem like it was started, you know, as a complete religion, which it isn't. It's more of a cult than anything else, I think.
It's not a religion. No.
It's just a way of life that all these people are being taught from childhood. And, you know, and I think the liberals have taken that point and decided that's how they're going to get Americans' future generations to follow the way they want them to. They'll indoctrinate them in schools. But And that, to me, that's the beginning of it all. But I've got a heartbreak here. Yeah, I got a heartbreak here that I bypassed a couple minutes ago, so I should get it, and I'll get right back with you.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay, we are back here with Kathy Hinders of Daily Roll Call, and we are honored to have her here. She has so much information about what is going on in this nation. She has one of the voices that I listen to constantly because it's where I get a lot of my information on this subject. As a matter of fact, most of my information on this subject, I think. But,
well, that's good.
We,
well, it's getting shared.
It's getting shared. I know the last one that I pulled off of yours and put it onto my blog got reblogged somewhere else, and I thought that was pretty cool, and it happened almost within 30 seconds of when I put it down there. So it happened
that's
really
nice.
Fast, and it kind of surprised me. But these are things that, you know, it's like you said, a lot of people need to stop thinking that all we're doing is scaremongering, because we're not.
No, there's nothing, you know, mongering or you know, hateful or anything else about this. It is what it is. And if people started to do their own research, and specifically where you are in Indiana, it's not hard to do. You know, ISNA is there in Plainfield. They usually say, you know, welcome people to come and talk to them and get information from them. Do it. You know, go there. But you'll see the one side of Islam that is not usually representative of these people. ISNA is a very radical Muslim Brotherhood organization. And, you know, what's interesting, I did some quick research on what you've got as far as Muslim student associations, which are Muslim Brotherhood entities. That actually, they're the number two organization as listed by the Muslim Brotherhood, and they were the number one organization founded in this country back in the 1960s, like 1963, I think, up in Illinois. But you've got your Indiana University at Northwest, you got Purdue at Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, your University of Evansville, Ball State. These all have Muslim student associations. And what's so bad about that? Their main purpose is to promote Islam. It's called Dawah, the proselytizing of Islam. That is the duty of every Muslim, to get non-Muslims to listen about Islam and to convert. Well, they call it reverting, because they believe that everyone was born a Christian and then you became an apostate by going to another religion. So their hopes are to get everyone to convert back to Islam. And what a better place to do it than college campuses. And they're usually very successful in college campuses with this method that they do. Because what I said before, the face of these organizations all do the right thing. You know, on college campuses, they provide the funding for homeless people. They feed the homeless. They go into shelters and bring food and clothing. They do everything that, you know, a good American citizen is supposed to do. But what I started exposing this week on my website was some of the members of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, who has always boasted that they are pro-America, you know, this and that. And their director in San Francisco, her name is Zahara Ballou, has made some statements that she probably didn't think would turn into this on her Twitter account, such as on Memorial Day, she has a hard time honoring those fallen soldiers for wars that we had no business being in, or words to that effect, but it's very anti-American. And the more people that were replying to her tweet, telling her she's un-American and this and that, the worse she got, you know? So it's people like that that are finally starting to show what they really feel about America. You know, it isn't a matter of the wars that we fought in. It's the people that lost their lives. And this is what, you know, she's damning. So, you know, we're going after her tenfold. But your Muslim student associations, you've got a lot of them. You've got a lot of mosques in Indiana. And what's scary about that, and we know that the mosques are being built probably at a record speed. From 2000, yeah. About the year 2000, there was like 1,200 mosques throughout the country. In 2010, we were up to 2,106. So the number is considerably higher right now, but so is the influx of Muslims, thanks to immigration, which I know you've talked about that before too. But
yeah.
Muslims, 44% of the immigrants coming in right now are Muslims. And, you know, when you look at Somalis producing between 6 and 8 children per household, they don't believe in birth control. They believe that Allah will take care of everything. So when you look at that, that's going to take time, obviously, for the numbers to build, but they're there. The numbers are there. So I just think that that's very disturbing, too. I think that, you know, we're not looking at immigration. We're not doing the things that we should be doing as far as stopping these things. And you're right about one thing. We are spiraling right out of control. And these things don't help. You know, these refugee resettlement programs, which just about every state has one, and the immigration population is rampant. Catholic Charities, which I think you probably have a brand of Catholic Charities up in Indiana, very
yeah.
dangerous group. They're not Catholic, and they are not a charity by any stretch. They make big money to bring these immigrants and refugees in. So that's just another problem to think about.
I did a piece on my show a couple weeks ago that actually came from your daily roll call, and where you were talking about the chameleon of Islam exposing itself as and Islamists here in America through the Boko Haram,
yeah.
and that they are about as Muslim as Westboro Baptist Church is Christian. I did a whole segment on that whole thing and actually quoted the Quran and a bunch of things about how, you know, if people think that Islam is a peaceful so-called religion, and you know, all you have to do is read the Quran, 2:191 through 193. It says to kill them wherever you find them and turn them out from where they have turned you out. And you know, they're constantly talking about killing the unbelievers. Well, as long as we're not worshiping Allah, we're unbelievers.
Yeah.
We're the ones they're coming after.
You're the bad guy. You're the kafir. You're the infidel. And, you know, I don't know that people understand when this process continues, as it is continuing right now, that, you know, the push to become a Muslim nation, Islamic nation, you know, sometimes you'll get a choice. If they think that there's a chance that a certain person or a certain church, a group of people will convert, they'll allow them to pay what's called the jizya, which is a tax. It's basically called a head tax, and they'll tax you 80% of your assets and your income to remain a Christian or a Jew or a Mormon or whatever, but you're going to pay dearly for that. And then there's the other portion of people who will outwardly say they will never revert to Islam, and they will be the ones that will be executed, as they do in other countries. You know, apostasy is taken very serious. They talk about it in the Quran. But it's interesting that you say that in the Quran. The Muslims will always use surahs or quotes. Surahs are basically like psalms from the Bible. They'll always use those quotes that are the softer side of the Quran. But there's actually a very interesting way to read the Quran. There's the beginning is the Meccan version of the Quran, where throughout the entire book, it'll talk about Muhammad's journey to Mecca. And at the time, he was very peaceful. You know, he was not a politician, but his numbers and his success rate at turning people into Muslims was not very good. Then there is his journey to Medina, which is the second part of the Quran, that he becomes very violent. He becomes that politician, and he becomes very violent. And then his success rate went through the roof because, not because he was being nice and people wanted to, it was because he was slaughtering the Jews and anybody else who wouldn't convert. So, and it's not divided, you know, specifically divided between the Mecca and Medina, but it is, there's two different ways. So they usually draw from the Meccan. You know, they'll pull that, oh, verily, hear that we love everyone and there is no forced compulsion in our religion. But then they fail to show the other surahs that show that, like you just said, kill them when you find them. And they're referencing Christians and Jews. So it's there. It's, you know, it's not a religion. And because they have a holy book, or they consider the Quran to be a holy book, doesn't make it a religion. And when you see mosques being built now, more and more, they're called masjids or Islamic centers. You know, an Islamic center is like a YMCA. Everything goes on there. They have meetings. You know, but back in the day, in Muhammad's day, Islamic centers or mosques or masjids were used specifically for military purposes. It's where their military operations occurred. It's where Muhammad issued his fatwas or his decrees of death. It's where all the plans to take over other religions were occurring. So you look now at the number of these Islamic centers that are popping up everywhere, and you know, you have to understand that, yeah, sure, they go in there and they pray, but there's a million other things going on in that Islamic center. There's a really good book out there called Mosque Exposed that tells the whole story.
Yeah. Lady Michelle in the chat room asked, what about the Hadith?
The Hadith, yes, it's not, there isn't just the Quran, there's actual three doctrines. It's the Sunnah, the Hadith, and the Quran. And what that is simply is the biography of Muhammad, and the Hadith are the way that they perform those things about Muhammad. Muhammad dictated every single thing that a Muslim has to do, from how they brush their teeth in the morning, to how they have sex, to how they vote, to how they live in society, they spend their money, and that is what the Hadiths are. The Hadiths actually are the guideline to how to imitate Muhammad. So it isn't just a Quran, it's a trilogy. And most people just believe, oh, they follow the Quran. Well, no, the Quran is just a very small part of it. It's actually the Hadith that is the most important book, because that is the telling of, in order to become a perfect Muslim, you must be like Muhammad, and that's all in the Hadith. I hope that answered her question.
Yeah, she said yep. So I guess she did. But out of those, the part that I had on my show a couple of weeks ago, I actually quoted five verses out of the Quran, and I mentioned 8:12, and it says, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve, therefore strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
peaceful.
To me, that doesn't
peaceful.
Sound like a, yeah, that to me, that just doesn't sound like a peaceful religion, as
no.
they call themselves, which,
no.
of course, okay. you and I both know they're not.
No, and I think that, you know, that's an uphill battle to try to prove that it is not a religion. You know, their own documents now are starting to come out, you know, explaining how they are not a religion. But when you have an administration that basically is supporting the Islamists, you know, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, nothing is going to be able to change unless this particular administration is gone. In 2 years, and I think we've talked about that before. I don't believe that that will change. That's just my opinion. I think that he'll remain in office. I think that, you know, a lot of people say to me, no, we have a constitution, and he's not able to serve a third term. Well, Well, by 2016.
He announced the other day he was going to.
Well, and you know what? He's well on a path to destruction, and there's no one there to stop him. You know, Eric Holder is not certainly upholding the Constitution. I don't know that any members of Congress are actually pursuing him upholding the Constitution. So, you know, 2016 is going to be an interesting year, and it could be a very turbulent year for all of us, hopefully not, but something's got to change. Something's got to give. And, you know, we are headed, you know, towards this. And a lot of people have asked, there's a poster going around, and it shows the, different men, different pictures of men, and they say that they're Muslim Brotherhood in the White House. And people have said to me, is that so? Yes, it is very much so. You know, you have somebody, Mohammed Elibiari, who's in Homeland Security. He is a security analyst advisor, one of the top advisors for the Department of Homeland Security. Well, when you have a Muslim Brotherhood person running Homeland Security, you know, you can start to see all of our national security issues being brought down, relaxed. You know, we're releasing illegals everywhere, and I know that word is illegal to say, but that's the way it is. They're illegal. So there's a lot of things going on, but, yeah, that is true that there are several members of the Muslim Brotherhood working within the White House. And I know there's people
I actually did an article on this show a couple of months ago about that, and I named them. And I'm looking for it now, but I can't find it. I can't remember when I did that. But it was a couple months ago, and I actually named them. And,
well, you know what,
you know,
and
which
that's
is one of the reasons.
Go ahead.
You know, it's one of the reasons that I wish this show had more of a following than it does, because, you know, it's information like that that is really important for people to know. It's
I agree.
You know, because once it's said, if the mainstream media just happens to goof up and say something about it, you'll hear it one time, but you'll never hear it again because they don't want that out there.
No,
and every once in a while, they'll goof and say it. You know, the reporter and them will come out, and then all of a sudden they say, oops, I did something wrong. I can't do that again. And they're quiet about it.
Yeah, I know. It's I think that people need to do the research on those names. You know, they can find them on my website, but, you know, you're talking about Rashad Hussein, Sami El Mariati, Arif Ali Khan, Mohammed Elibiari, and a guy by the name of Ibu Patel. Those are just the ones that are in higher-ranking positions. There are a lot of them as support in other positions. Now, did you know that the Department of Justice has a specific, they have kind of like a new, it's a basically like a civil, I can't remember the name of it now that I said this and I had it before, but anyway, there's a new department within the Department of Justice that goes around to schools and other organizations to basically say that, you know, if any Muslims being harassed or anything is happening in the schools, if the schools don't accommodate the Muslims, it falls under bullying and harassment. And so they have this group of people that go out and talk to people, and usually it involves a U.S. attorney. And we actually had that happen here last June in a really small town called Manchester, Tennessee. They had a U.S. attorney and an FBI agent at this forum, and they didn't expect all the people to show up. There were over 1,000 people at this forum that was being run by a Muslim organization, and they invited a U.S. attorney and the FBI to tell people basically, if you start, you know, if you speak out on this religion and this is a result of what you've spoken on, this is the crime. And it did not go, it backfired on them because over 1,000 people protested. It was a tremendous event to be part of, which I was there. And it wasn't a hate fest, as they described it.
You lucky person, you.
I go to all these things if I can. It's amazing. But what it was a silencing of the First Amendment. You know, we don't have to agree with the Muslims, and when you don't agree with their agenda, you're a hater. And, you know, the three words that they like to use are hater, bigot, and Islamophobe. And, you know, I'm neither of those, but that's the label. If you disagree with them, that's automatically what you're labeled.
Yeah.
So
we've got one guy in the chat room who actually said liberals will respond with the Bible has passages to kill non-believers, and then he also put down that 41 Democrats have sponsored a bill to repeal the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's something that a lot of people don't know about because a lot of people aren't paying attention. And all these things that are happening right now, you know, your IRS, the VA scandal, all of these things are diversions, distractions to get America, and Obamacare was probably one of the biggest distractions, to get people to the point where, you know, where they have to say, you know, I lost my job, I don't have health insurance, I can't do this, I'm being targeted by the IRS because I didn't pay last year's taxes. They don't care about what's happening in the Muslim world. This is why they distract. This is what they're doing. And so, therefore, mm-hmm. people aren't reading about the fact that, you know, Congress is looking at squashing the First Amendment. And with that, I will tell you that the OIC, which is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and thank you to Hillary Clinton, they have drafted a bill. It's called the Defamation of Religion. You and I have talked about this before. The Defamation of Religion Bill. And you know what? It doesn't cover speaking ill of other religions. It covers only speaking out on Islam. And they just hadn't figured out a way in this country to put that law into effect. So therefore, if they amend the First Amendment, then this law could fit in very nicely. But I think, again, you'll see a lot of backlash. We can have all the backlash in the world. When you have Eric Holder in position that he is in, no courts are going to be able to uphold anything that we do, which is very scary, I think. So, you know, we're headed down a path, Robert, because people aren't paying attention. They're lazy. People are lazy. They don't want to know.
Yeah, and Lady Michelle in the chat room said, look at the outreach program to the Muslims with NASA, and she called them Muzzies, which is cool. And she says it's the same with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, the UN is, I mean, this administration obviously is trying to form a greater alliance with the UN. They're allowing the UN to make a lot of decisions. You know, there was one for weapons, you know, for guns and things. But there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes that people just aren't privy to because they're not looking. People don't want to hear any more bad news. They're out of work. They can't afford, you know, things. So what a way to set up a country. And that's exactly what he's done. He has set us up to almost fail in our personal lives. And then all these distractions so that all these other things can start happening. And then it's too late, you know, then people can't come out and say, no, we don't want that. So then the only thing left to do is to revolt. And, you know, I hate to say it, I'm not a warmonger, scaremonger, whatever, but at some point there will have to be some sort of action, which is really scary.
Another one in the chat room said that Obama signed the UN gun ban treaty.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's really, if you stop and look at what's going on, you know, the scaremongering that everybody thinks is going on, they will realize that, it's very scary, but it's true. And
mm-hmm.
we have to start looking at what's going on, because if we keep voting with our hearts and keep thinking with our hearts, we're going to find out that, and we're going to find out really fast, our hearts were not meant for thinking. You know, that's why God gave us a brain and a heart. I've got another heartbreak. I missed the last one at the 30-minute thing, but I'll get this one, and then I'll be right back with you.
Okay.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Okay, I had an audio here that to me, seems to be part of the problem of what is going on here in the United States. This happened in New Mexico the other day.
I am asking you for your help. We need to make Susana Martinez a one-term governor. We need to send her back to wherever she really came from. I suspect it's Texas.
Essentially, what he said there was that this guy is a the guy who is running against Susana Martinez, who is the first Hispanic governor in the United States, and he essentially said that they needed to make her a one-term governor and that she needs to go back to where she came from. And he paused there for a little bit, and then when he found out that the reaction wasn't quite what he thought it would be, he said, well, back to Texas, and it'll make things better for Texas and make things better for New Mexico. But that is one of the ploys that everybody is using nowadays to get their point across, and if they notice that the people don't like it, then they make a little change here and there to make it seem like it's not quite as radical as it first sounded like, but it's completely radical, and there's nothing unradical about what the left and the Muslims and the Islamists are all saying right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the interesting part. You know, everyone will say that, you know, well, we stand up for, you know, for what's going on here, but as soon as they realize that the wrong audience heard or the microphone was on, they backtrack. And that's what we don't need. We don't need more backtrackers here. We need people to take a stand and say, yes, I said it, and face the consequences, you know. And hopefully, you know, this will happen more and more throughout the country. You've got to take a stand. But I don't know. I don't know that too many people have that in them, unfortunately, to take that stand and to be, you know, talked about if you're doing what you and I do, like, oh, you know, we're hate mongers and fear mongers and everything else. I don't really care at this point. I think it's more about getting the word out. You don't have to like what I do. You don't have to like me. I really don't care. But listen to what we're saying and research what we're saying. I think that's the biggest thing right now is to listen. And I think the biggest thing people can do is go to the CARE website. Now, you don't have a CARE chapter in Indiana, I don't believe.
No, I don't think we do.
No. Probably one coming eventually, but I think if people go to that website and they start looking at the things that care is demanding happen in this country. Everything from changing TV shows because we, you know, it is a stereotype. They don't like the Middle Easterners being portrayed in a certain way, to you know, videos that they released on veteran or on Memorial Day that only featured Muslim veterans, stopping training by law enforcement, including myself. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things on this website, and it's a very telling website. So if people just go there to start their research, that would be an eye-opener for a lot of people. Go to my website, you know, listen to your show and start paying attention.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's just like I have a friend down in Texas who has a blog of her own, and she is one of these people. She is a black woman who is also a conservative. And you don't find those very often, but she proceeded to tell me. She proceeded to tell me just a couple weeks ago that she was totally ashamed of the black people because they will not look at what is really happening, but they will follow who is taking us down that path because of the color of his skin.
Isn't that amazing? Yep. And if you speak out against, you know, anything, this president or anything, it makes you a racist. And that's just the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of. You know, just because I disagree with the policies and the performance doesn't mean I'm a racist. It just means that he's horrible at what he does. But, yeah, you're labeled a lot by that. And good for her for speaking out like that. You know, that takes courage. I totally believe that that takes courage. So.
Yeah. Well, I take pride in being a racist, if that's what they consider us to be. Because of what we do, then I take pride in that because, you know, I know I'm not a racist, but I believe what they are doing to this nation is wrong, and if that makes me a racist, then so be it. It's not something that is going to stop me.
No, but, you know, the name thing does create a fear in so many people that once, you know, they look at you and they say, oh, man, if they're calling him a racist and I do something, if I protest or I speak out, then it's going to be me. And people are scared to death. You know, it used to be years ago, sticks and stones. You know, remember that little thing we used to say? Names can names can never hurt me. But that's kind of been turned around.
I hit my brother with that one all the time.
I know, you know. What is it? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. And that's what we used to believe as kids, you know. So go ahead and call me a hater or a racist or whatever you want to call me. But nowadays, that has become nobody wants to be labeled because it affects everything that you do. And I think a lot of people fear that. You know, will their work find out about it? Will their family find out about it? But at some point, people have to take a stand. And right now it seems that people feel if they don't stand up for anything, they think they're safe, and they're not safe, you know, and I guess that's what bothers me the most. And we're going to be coming up with some new posts in the next couple of days, too, so maybe, you know, maybe you can take a look at those. Yeah, my brain is really hurting.
I definitely will. I have a friend, I mentioned him earlier in the show. His name is Douglas B. Gibbs. And he is out of California. He does a blog called Political Pistachio. And he is married to a legal immigrant from South America. And he is very outspoken, talks in California all the time. He ran for office down there and actually won. And I constantly get emails from him now. But there was a time about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I think, somewhere around there, where his house was actually attacked by people who got mad at what he was saying. They threw rocks through his house, through his windows, and he gave up. He says, I'm not going to subject my wife and my children to this. This is not going to happen. And it was his wife that got him back into this and said, I did not come to this country, which is the greatest country in the world, to watch this kind of thing happened, and then have my husband shut up about it from then on. And he's back.
Good for her.
And he was one of the original people on Blog Talk Radio, actually. He was one of the first. I found out about Blog Talk Radio through him. So,
excellent.
But he's
great.
Back,
and
he does a and he does a Constitution show. He does a Constitution class down in I think it's Marietta, California, or something like that. I can't exactly remember what, but he's an inspiration. And every once in a while, I think I see something on his blog about the Muslim Brotherhood too. So the word's getting out. I think so.
But there's so many people still that are afraid to talk about it. But I have seen, I've seen an upsweep in people, you know, paying attention to some of these organizations, and which is good. But I think we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do on this. So,
I think I'll take your advice and head down to ISNA and take pictures and find out what the hell's going on down there so I can report on it. That would be...
There we go. That would be great.
I'll take all the
pictures you can take. Don't get locked up, Robert.
Take pictures, and if I start getting kicked out, I'll take pictures of that happening, too. I'll have somebody
there
around with a camera to take it from a distance so that I can be filmed having that happen. That might be interesting.
Yep, that absolutely so. Yeah, just don't get, you know, locked up where we got to bail you out, and Duke's got to bail you out, you know.
Yeah, that would be kind of bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Well, I guess it would be. I don't know. I wouldn't want to see you get arrested, but it could be a good thing for all of us. We get the inside scoop that way, you know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
don't do that.
That would be interesting. But sadly, I'm running out of time here, but I'm really glad you joined me today. It's that you always have such great information on the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamophobia, and, you know, that to me, that's a word that they use against us because they know that we don't like being called names. And
Well, I appreciate it.
You know, there's a blog I read that talks about Islam, and right on their head on their banner, it says Islamophobia is not really Islamophobia if they really are trying to kill you.
That's exactly true. Hey, Robert, I just want to mention that, you know, people can also find me on Facebook. So if they want to friend me, there is not right now a link on my Daily Roll Call page. There is to Twitter, but there is not to my Facebook page. So I'm working on that.
Well, I've got your Facebook page on my – I have your Facebook page on my phone. I haven't found it yet on my computer, but I've got it on my phone.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm there. So if anybody, you know, wants to friend me, we do a lot of different things on Facebook too. So,
I also want to wish you a happy birthday. I tried to send you a message earlier this week about it, and I was at work, and my phone does not have internet access or Wi-Fi at work. I'm not sure why I cannot get it to send nothing. But I tried to wish you a happy birthday. So happy birthday.
Oh.
I'm glad that
well,
I hope that it was a good
much.
One.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and,
it's tough being 29, you know.
Yeah.
I've been 29 for a long time. But thank you for the wishes. I appreciate that. So.
Well,
and thanks for letting me come
you're
on.
Welcome back you're welcome back any time, and I'm glad you were here. It
all right.
Helps
well, thanks,
helps
Robert.
The time go faster. And you have your own good day. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Bye.
Bye. Okay. We had, that was Kathy Hinders at Daily Roll Call, and we've got about 90 seconds of the show left, so it's almost over, and I'm glad that everyone here today that we did, and some of the great comments that were put out in the chat room, and I have some great listeners, when they decide to start getting vocal, they will let me know and everyone else as to what is going on. And some of the things that you guys come up with out there, I haven't even heard about, but which is cool. So our lineup of shows on PNM have now had some great ones, and we start the week on Sunday with Michael Berryman's show, An American by Design, on Sundays. That's tomorrow. On Tuesday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. On Wednesday, we have Radio Free America with Dave Brooks. And on Thursday, the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. And, of course, on Saturdays, you have me. And I'm glad to have you guys here, and I'll see you guys next week, and God bless you all.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. As soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July.
God bless you all.